Will to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Start reading with verse 35. Let your loins be girded about with your lamps burning, that ye yourselves like men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to eat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have permitted his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him a portion with the unbeliever. And that servant who knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. I'll be speaking this evening for a few minutes on the subject, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. An event so indescribable that people believe that it's unthinkable that it could ever happen. I wonder if we took a census and it come out true. I wonder how many people in the world would truly be expecting Jesus to come again. In our text this evening, there are several things that we need to know, or I need to know, and the church needs to know. Things that we need to really give thought about in the latter days. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever noticed the evangelist on television, or preachers that possibly you have heard, are all trying to mention the latter days, the days that's drawing near when Jesus will come? Doesn't seem to make any sense to the multitude that one day the sky will break and Jesus will come. And yet, that is the church's secured hope, isn't it? The coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First and foremost, there's something that the church must do. We know the world will not believe it because they do not know God. But there is something that the church need not only hear, and they have heard it thousands and thousands of times possibly, but they need to believe it. They need to believe today more than any other day that the coming of the Lord is soon to come. That it is signed and sealed and waiting for the delivery, his return for his bride. And yet I think today, and I've said this before, I think we just need to look around us at the churches in all the area where we are. And we can realize the unexpectancy of the coming of the Lord. If a word would be caroled to us from an angel from on high, and we knew for sure that it was an angel that gave the word that Jesus is coming tomorrow, you wouldn't get no seat in this building. the church, not the world, but the church above all, is believing that Christ will never come in our lifetime. It doesn't make sense to them that He would come in a generation like ours. But know this, that it was in a generation just like ours that God brought a flood. It was a time of wickedness. A time when people were living and being merry and given and receiving in marriages just like we are today. People unexpected. And yet a man preached for hundreds of years that God loved them and that God was going to destroy the earth. And they laughed until the first drop of rain. They didn't laugh no more. Jesus is coming again. I am not talking about Him coming for me at death or you at death. I am talking about when Jesus Christ comes to receive His bride. And if you'll excuse the expression, and all hell breaks loose, and the trumpet sounds, and the archangel shouts. And I believe the words of Christ as He stands on the clouds will be those that He spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos. Come up here! And the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise. And as they come from the graves, and we who remain shall be caught up together with them to meet Him in the air when He comes for His bride. If I were to say tonight, no, I'm not saying 2002, 2004, though that could be, whatever. But I believe that the coming of Jesus Christ, looking at history and looking what has happened today and making comparisons, is right on the edge of coming. Oh, we need to hear that, and we need to believe that. You see, there's something about you and I tonight. We are a very special people. We are the miracle of God. The church is the miracle of God, born out of the world of sin into the kingdom of God. We are a chosen generation. In fact, Peter says that we are a royal priesthood. We're different. We're different from the world, and we are so different from the world that Peter calls us peculiar people. We're different than anyone else. Why? Because we are the sons and the daughters of God. We should be different than the world. So being God's special miracle, God has chosen a very special place for those who are special. And that place is called heaven. Do you ever reminisce what heaven's like? I have, and I can take the Bible and the words of God, and I can see the streets of gold that you can see through, and the water of life, and the throne and God on it, and the rainbow behind it. I can see the trees of life on each side of the river of life flowing from under the throne of God. And still yet, I cannot touch the edge of what heaven's going to be like. But there's one thing for sure. Jesus is the great carpenter. He was a carpenter's son. Did you know that? And He said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then He said something else. And when I have that place prepared, I'm coming again. I'm coming again for a purpose. I am coming to receive you, to bring you to Me, that where I am, there you may be also, Jesus said. Oh, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus is coming again, and it could be at any time, and you and I ought to be expectant of His coming. Watch and pray, he said, for his coming. For no man knows the hour of his coming. And so then, we can believe this. You remember, just outside the city, they were just walking, and they were just talking. Jesus and his disciples. And maybe all at once, it's not recorded like in the Word of God, but maybe all at once Jesus said, we're going to have to stop here for a moment. We're going to have to wait a while. Something's got to be done. And you know what happened. That a cloud from heaven came down and received Christ and picked him up. And on that cloud, he ascends into heaven. It was so sudden. It was a happening that the disciples at that moment never, ever expected. And it was so shocking that they stood there in awe, looking into the sky toward the cloud that took Jesus from their midst. And lo and behold, as they stand there wondering what in the world has happened, the Bible says that an angel spoke to them, a heavenly being spoke to them, and asked them the question, what's the problem? Paraphrase. What's the problem? Why are you standing so amazed looking into the sky? Didn't you expect it? Didn't he tell you he was going to leave you? Is his departure so unexpected that you stand gaping into the sky because don't you know that he told you that Jesus shall come again in like manner as you have seen him taken away? I believe when Jesus comes, no, it'll just be in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. But I believe the world of Christianity or the world of the church will be awe-stricken momentarily in the twinkle of an eye also. Why? Because as they never expected his leaving and going away, the church is not expecting his coming again in like manner. And so the church is just walking through the world, really not believing. One day, and our text says, if he comes in this hour or that hour, in this watch or that watch. And one text said that the eastern sky, as the lightning comes from the east and shines unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I say to you and I tonight, that when Jesus comes, the eastern sky will split and Jesus Christ will come. And you and I know how immediate that lightning comes, so fast it's come and gone, for we can blink an eye. And the Bible said, this is how the coming of Jesus will be, in the twinkle of an eye. Oh, the church, of which I'm a part of, needs to prepare themselves. It should have already been ready for this coming. And I'm not saying that people, because they are not here, they are not expecting his coming, but I do say this to you, that if he comes on a certain night of the week or on Sunday night, whenever it is, I'll tell you one thing, he'll clear the bingo halls of God's children. How sad it is. Why? Because we're unexpectant. And the Bible said that the trump shall sound. And this is not a symbolic sounding. This is a literal sounding of the trump. And the voice of the archangel shall ring out. And Jesus shall descend and call his bride to join him in the air. For a purpose, to take his bride to his home that has been prepared for he and his bride, he and his children, into heaven with God. Oh, what a joy that will be, but it will be sad. I say to a lot of people sometimes, you can live like you want. You can act like the devil even after you're born again. I don't know how you can, but some folks do. But one thing guaranteed, when we stand before God for our works to be judged, it'll be a whole lot of different then. If we get scared and nervous when we stand before some kind of a little human judge over in the Taylorville courthouse, think what it'll be like when you stand before the Master and your whole life is brought before you. And he begins to throw out all the bad you've done. And then when he's finished, he looks at us. And he cannot say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because many are not serving today. He will come like a thief. He will come suddenly. And the verse I quoted, like the lightning that comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I know it'll be a lot faster than that. But you ever notice how fast it is? When you hit your thumb with a hammer. You know how fast it starts to throb? The coming of Jesus Christ will be so fast there'll be no time for any type of a preparation except the preparation that he has already made to change us. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. He will come like a thief, unexpected by the multitude. Even the members of the church will not expect him. You see, there is something about a thief. It would never enter a thief's mind to say to you, "I'm coming to your house tonight because I'm going to rob you." Because our text says, if we knew when the thief was coming, we would have prepared ourselves. And we would have prevented him from robbing us. There is a difference. Jesus has said to his children, "I'm coming again." We know his coming. We do not know the exact hour the Bible says. But it also says that his coming should not overtake us as a thief in the night. It should be no surprise to us. We should be expecting his coming when he does come. A thief in the night. In the church, this will be a Christ dishonoring night that will fast settle down upon us. Now, a lot of folks never ever think, because we're sitting worshiping God and praising God in any service, that Jesus is going to come in such a wonderful moment in time. But all the preaching in the world and all the worshiping in the world will not stop the coming of the Son of God when the Father says it's time. And so we need to prepare and we need to make sure that we're not caught up. Why not? Why not should we be surprised as he comes as a thief in the night? Because he told us he's coming. And he told us to watch and anticipate and wait for his coming. We should be a people of anticipation, knowing that Christ is coming and coming soon. Titus in 2:13 talks to us. He tells us that we are to look for the blessed hope. And the blessed hope that Titus tells us to look for is the appearing of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. I wonder what the church believes they are saved for, and why we worship, and why we say we have some kind of a hope. Isn't our hope in going to be with the Master? Isn't our hope to spend eternity in heaven? then why should we be so unexpected? Why should it overtake us as a thief in the night? The entire Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. The church at Thessalonica received a great recognition that many of God's people who study the Bible have overlooked. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, when they turned from their idols, the Bible tells us that they waited for the Son's coming from heaven. Even when the church at Thessalonica was formed and they turned from idols to God, back then they looked for the coming of the Son of God. We have more wisdom and knowledge concerning His coming today than in any other era of history. We still are unexpected. Some believing that He will not come. I was just reminiscing, and I know you're like I am. But you know, our children have been gone for some time. They didn't flew the coop, they just left the nest. And we see them. And we see them, most of them, each week. But I want to say this to you. Only for 3 or 4 days I don't see them. But I long to see them come Sunday at our table. When our children are gone for a little season, what a joy it is when we expect them to come, to visit with us, to be with us. The boy. Not with you all the time, but what a joy that to spend a week or so and we anticipate those things. Why? Because we love them, don't we? If the Lord is precious to us and we love Him, we should also be anticipating His return for us. For that will be the most glorious hope that has been revealed or brought to pass. Let me use that word. Long for His return. When He comes, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He said the books will be open. And the church. Now, folks, you can put this down as law. Ain't going to be no sinners in heaven. The church. Every born-again believer. Black, yellow, white, African, Asian, Russian, American, whatever, is going to appear before that judgment seat of Christ. And He said the books will be open and we will be judged by the things written in the book. He also said, and the book of works was opened. We were judged according to our works for our crown. Now, I know that you might say, preacher, you get radical. I think you're wrong. And I think I'm right. For I believe that I would be the saddest Christian that ever went into heaven if when He opened the book and judged my works, that He'd look at me and say, you've earned no crowns. Oh, hard to even think of that. That He's loved us, died for us, saved us. And the bad outweighed the good. According, He said, we'll be judged according to what we have done, deeds while in the body. Those who have lived for self will never be able to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And not to live for Christ after what Christ has done for us is to dishonor Him
is to dishonor all he has done for us. And not to expect his return is to dishonor him again, because he says to the church, I'm coming again for you. When? As soon as I get the place prepared, I'm coming to receive you. Yes, looking for the coming of the Lord should do something in our daily life. It should affect our daily life. For I don't know when Jesus is coming. He said, as a thief in the night. But I say this to you, that in Matthew and others, they say there will be two grinding at the mill. I don't think many folks do that at night, in the evening. And one will be taken and one will be left. There'll be two in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. There'll be two in the bed, and one will be taken, one will be left. And you and I have read it, and we have heard it. Ain't it something? That the pilot is flying over to England or someplace, and all at once there's 10 people left in the plane, and the pilot's gone. You think that won't be a skirmish? But that is exactly what is going to happen when Jesus Christ comes. For when he comes for the church, only those who are born again will go to be with him. Oh, God's not that kind of a God. God's a loving God, but he is an angry God. I was thinking about, not wanting to tell stories out of church, but my mind goes back a little bit. Now, I wasn't perfect when I was young. I was real close. Not quite. And I remember as we would sit in the classroom. Now, not me always. Jack Conrad was the biggest culprit of it all. But we'd always get something going, and we'd involve the whole class in nonsense. We would be going crazy. And pretty soon, someone would say, teacher's coming, teacher's coming. You ever been there? And said, whoop, we all turned angels. The church is living in that kind of expectancy. They believe that when Jesus comes, someone will see him and will say to the church, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Not so. When Jesus comes, you'll not have time to brush your teeth. You'll not even have time to spit on your hair and hold it down. For he comes in the twinkle of an eye. Oh my. To surprise an unwaiting world. To surprise an unwaiting church. Verses 47 and 48. That follows our text. To whoever much is given, much will be required. What is required of the church? That we be found faithful. When we're found faithful, all the other things concerning God and our labor for him will fall in place. Yes, he's coming again. He's coming as a thief in the night. We should be looking for his coming because he tells us to watch and pray. And he says something else that I mentioned from the pulpit before. If and when, or when he comes, shall he find faith in the earth? He can't be talking about sinners. Will he find faith in the church? Or will they have shunned it off that he's coming at all? We should be ready with anticipation to meet him in air. there was a program, Ron Howard, he's the directing old little OP, remember him? And they let him feed again one end and boom and shoot themselves through there to the other end. And I said, that's what it's going to be like. I don't know how, but with my 134 pounds, I'm going to float through the air. Amen. Okay, you can add a couple pounds if you want. We should anticipate that we are living in such a way that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the least, and now I'm going to put you in charge of much. Oh, what a day that will be. When the trumpet sounds. And the brightness of the Son of God lights the eastern sky. And the voice of the archangel shakes the world. And the Savior says, come up here. I pray that we have not only heard that, but that we know for sure that Jesus is coming again. Father, tonight, we rejoice in that fact that you are coming again. You haven't forgotten us. You love us. You are the bridegroom. We're not sure when you will come for us. But we are assured you haven't forgotten us. That you are coming again. And when you come, dear God, the night will end when no man can work again. And I pray, dear God, that we will, as your bride, be in anticipating and expecting with great jubilance your return for us. So tonight, touch our lives as we serve you and worship you. Speak to our hearts. Lead and guide us in our everyday lives until you come again. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Wilton comes and the lady come this evening. Just a verse of song. Maybe a desire to pray. Maybe something on your heart that only you and God know. That's all right. Maybe you want to come and just pray about it. Maybe you want us to pray with you about it. Don't hesitate. Mr. Wolf was in church this morning. He could hardly stand where he was. And I seen that. We can never force anyone to do anything. But when we left here, we went to our daughter-in-law's, to our grandbaby's birthday party. And he was there. And he looked at me a lot of times, and he went and he filled his plate. But then he came back and sat by me and held his plate for I don't know how long. He wanted to tell me that he knows. He knows that he needs to be baptized and follow the Lord. And he said, as soon as I get back here, just be a little while, I've got to go down and think. He said, I'm going to do that. So we had a good talk. Me and him sitting there, and the girls were sitting around us. But it shows you how that God works. Please. I don't care what it is. If you're saved, you're baptized, following God, if God says to you, I want you to go down here at the corner. You know what? There just might be an Ethiopian eunuch down there. waiting for you. Go. Go. Don't hesitate. As we stand and sing this evening, sing and praise to God.